Praise the Lord. It's nice to be with all of you tonight and in a place where we can see God and we can know God and we can know Him in a greater way. It's amazing how things change as you get older. I'm staying in the cottage again. And I'm going to wash my face and I have to bend over or get on my knees to wash my face. And it brings back memories. I don't know. Did the cottage shrink? Or maybe I just got a little taller from being so short when I was young. Things change. Things definitely change. But thank the Lord for the cottage ministry. Some people say, well, you know, what's really happening? What could really happen in a 6-year-old or 7 or 8-year-old? But you know, amazing things happen. When I was 7 years old, before that I heard about Jesus and I heard about His love from my family and from the church and from the camp. And but at 7 years old, I remember going, I was in a church at some sort of release time, and just a pastor came in, just as a routine, and he told us again about Jesus' love and Jesus' forgiveness. And he said, do you want to receive Jesus? And I can distinctly remember at 7 years old, forgive me, and feeling cleansed. At 7 years old, just feeling clean. I can still remember it distinctly today. And then feeling free. Feeling like a burden really was lifted. I remember walking back, it was actually a school release time here in Brant Lake, and walking back to the school and just being happy and just having a smile and not knowing that God was out there, but that He was walking with me and that He was actually inside of me. I still remember that at 7 years old. And I appreciate the camp ministry and coming here for many years as a camper from 6 to 15. And just the time that I would always look forward to it, I knew that some of those tough city kids, they might come in a little rough. But I kind of got the system after a couple of years. Usually by the last couple of meetings, they would be crying at the altar and God would get a hold of their heart and their life. And I would just wait, even as a young person, I would wait and say, you know, God's going to get a hold of them because people were praying here, not just during the season, but year round. People were praying, and the ministry here goes deep. You know, when I talk to other people about coming to camp, you know, there's an anticipation that God is going to do something in our hearts. Do we have that anticipation tonight? Do we have that anticipation as we come to Him? We have good routines. We should have good habits. But we want to come with that relationship. It's like a new bride. We want to, wow. You know, we want to see with them. We want to be with them. It's a thrill. It's a joy. It's an anticipation of the future. We are the bride of Christ, aren't we? And yet we can look forward to being with Christ here and now because His Spirit is here. So thank the Lord. I hope that we're here with anticipation in our hearts and that God is going to do something even today. Something different. He is so wonderful. He's amazing that we can come to Him 1,000 times and yet He has millions of things that He wants to do in our heart and in our life. Let's not make the routine just out of a habit or we have to do it, but with a little bit of anticipation, saying, Lord, okay, today You're going to work in my heart. Today You're going to show me something a little new, something different, something that I haven't seen before. You're going to work in my heart and You're going to help me to know You in a greater way. It's not what, it's who. It's not how, it's who. It's not where, it's who. It's not when, it's who. It's not why, it's who. There's some things in life that are, we might say, a hinge point, a point at which things pivot on. That things rely on. If you look at some of the constructions, I'm still amazed at these huge bridges, huge girders and pavement and cars and trucks going across. And yet if you notice, there's a point where it comes to a pin, about yay big, solid steel. And that whole bridge is sitting on those pins. In life, there's some hinge pins, and one of those is who. Who. It's not who we are that matters. It's who we know. It's not what you know that matters. It's who you know. It's not why something happens in life or doesn't happen in life. It's who you know. Or as my grandmother, who was a Christian for many years until 94, she passed away, she said, it's whose you are. It's not who you are, but whose you are. And I hope tonight that each one of us in this room belong to Jesus Christ, because that's the most important decision that we can make. But it's to be reminded of that. I guess I've lived long enough to see some things that we need to be reminded of. Even as in the Old Testament, they used to make pillars, or they used to make altars or monuments to remember. You ever go to some of these monuments in the city, or just even in small towns? They put up memorials. Sometimes I just go over and I'm just curious, what was the situation? What's it for? And I try to read about it or see about it, and you know, just try to remember, even Veterans Day or Memorial Day, trying to remember those things that we should, you know, honor. And I think about, wow, you know, what is the memorial? What should we remember in life? What should we put into our minds that would help us to remember to do it again and again? Maybe we have heard the things again and again, but we haven't put them into practice, or we haven't gone deeper into those things. I know some of the themes that I've heard over the years, decades of being in church and being here at camp, there's some things that God impresses on His children again and again. And when God says something several times, even in His Word, it means that kind of to pay attention. Kind of say, okay, why is it there? What should I use it for? That means something. Sometimes in my life, I find that God will speak about something here, and then He'll say it again here. He'll say it through this person, or He'll say it through this circumstance. And I'm learning more and more to pay attention to that. And to say, okay, God, I hear you. Okay, God, I got to concentrate on that. I need to think about that, or to grow in that area. And you'll find sometimes at camp, someone will speak about something, or the Spirit will bring something to your mind, and He'll bring it back again another way, through a book or through what someone's saying. And that's how the Spirit speaks to us as His children. He speaks to us, and it's our responsibility to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I want to follow You. Who do we know? How well do we know Jesus? If we saw Him, would we recognize Him? If we were to speak with Him, would we know His voice? I think as we get to know somebody, we see and we know them more and more. And we start to understand their character. And we start to understand who they are and what they want. And we enter into that relationship. What a wonderful thing it is to be invited to be friends and to be children of God. I think that's just amazing. It's just an honor and a privilege. So it's wanting to know God. It's wanting to know Him more and more. Who do you know? Who do you know? Well, a couple of things come to mind. And one of them is in China. Well, I've been there the last 6-7 years. I've had an opportunity to just see a little bit of the culture and to understand, try to understand more and more of the culture. And one thing I appreciate about the culture is that relationships are really important. Relationships are quite important, and they can last a lifetime. And business and any kind of endeavors are usually based upon some sort of relationship. And we know the old saying, it's not what you know, but it's who you know that makes you get ahead in life. Well, that's kind of a worldly saying that I don't really like, because we want to try and know more to progress more. But in a Christian sense, it kind of makes sense. On that day when we stand before God, it's not what we know, it's who we know. It's not anything else. It's not who we are, but it's who we know in Jesus Christ. I'm so grateful that when we stand before Him, the Father looks at us. If He looks at us separately from Jesus, all of the sin and all the wrong that we've done is there before Him. But when He looks at us through Jesus, that's a different story. When He looks at us through Jesus, He sees not us, but he sees the righteousness of Christ. And I'm so grateful for that. In China, I sometimes talk with the college students that I work with. My wife and I work with college students. I teach English in a college, so sometimes I have anywhere from 100 to 300 students that I have a chance to be friends with and have a chance to talk with. And sometimes I talk to them about this concept of relationship. And there's a Chinese word, guanqi, which means relationship. And if you know somebody, you can go, you know, to them and ask a favor. Or you can ask of them, okay, can I get this opportunity? Or can I get this job? Or can you help me to maybe meet somebody else? And so it's in a sense really powerful when I talk to them about who Jesus is. About this concept of who we know. Who we know. And I say to them, I say, you know, when we come to God, we cannot approach God in and of ourselves. We just cannot come to God in ourselves. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. But when we come through Jesus, in a sense we're partners with Jesus, we're brothers with Christ, and he becomes our mediator, our advocate. He stands between us and God. He becomes the one that God speaks through or looks through at us and looks at us, who we are. And he sees what Christ did on the cross. Out of his love and obedience, he laid down his life on the cross, and the blood was shed forever and ever. The righteousness of Christ is complete and total for all and all. And when he laid down his life, it covered anything that we have done, past, present, and future. I'm so grateful for that. It's not who we are, but it's who we know. Thank the Lord that I know Jesus Christ tonight. I hope that you also, as you praise him tonight and as you worship him, that you can remember who Jesus is and you can get to know him in a greater way. If you take a look at a portion of scripture in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, it speaks about the blood of Jesus. And today I've just been reminded about the situation in the Old Testament with the temple, and how in the temple there was a place called the holy place. And then there was this huge curtain. And after that curtain was the holy of holies. And that curtain separated the holy place from the holy of holies. It separated God in his holiness or in his greatness from those who were outside of the curtain. And as you know, once a year the priest could only go in and offer up an atonement for all of the sin of that year for all the people. But when Jesus died on the cross, several things happened. And I love reading that portion of scripture about what happens when Jesus died on the cross. I mean, tombs opening and people coming out of the tomb and walking around the city. I mean, what stories that must have been on that day. But another part of Jesus dying on the cross was the veil in the temple, which was maybe up to 3 foot thick. It was torn from top to bottom. Not just a little bit, not just a hole, not just a peak. But I just look at it and I say, God tore that veil from top to bottom, something that no man could do. But he did it as a symbol. He did it as a sign to show we're no longer separate. It's not just my holiness is over here and you're over there, but now you can come into the Holy of Holies. You can come and you can know me in my love, but also in my holiness, in my righteousness. Because what Jesus did on the cross covered all of our sin, all of our wrong. And so what a wonderful picture that is. It's almost like an invitation. Before it was, stay away, keep out, don't touch. But then it was, come on in. Come back to fellowship with me. Even as we see in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve fellowshipping with God. And that was the purpose. That's why they were made. That's why we all were made, was for fellowship with God. I see that torn curtain saying, come. Come back. Come to know me. Come to know me, not just about me. Come not to just study about me or to hear about me, but come in fellowship. Come to know me in personally and in closeness. And it's amazing through Scripture, he says he doesn't want to be around us, but he wants to live inside of us. And that's, again, just an amazing, amazing God we serve. That he's so amazing, so powerful, he's so creative, he is so beyond us, and yet he wants to be inside of us. He wants to dwell in us. He wants to live in us, and he wants us to walk with him and to know him closely. I mean, how much closer can you get than something inside of you? What an amazing invitation. And that invitation is every day in which we live. And so in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, it speaks about this. It says in verse 19, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Wow, what a sentence. That's a long sentence. Has a lot in that sentence, but it's good. It's an invitation again to draw near to God with a sincere heart. One of the requirements for coming to God is sincerity. I tell when I'm sometimes helping people to learn how to pray or to begin to talk to God, I said prayer is just talking to God, and you know, you can say to God anything, but you know, it's the sincere heart that God hears. And so to draw near to God is to come in sincerity. To come in sincerity saying, God, yes, I want to know you. Not just part of me, but all of me. I want to know you just not in part, but I really want to know you are most important. You are number one. You are first. And Lord, I want to know you. Lord, I want to draw near to you. And so we see this joining again of God and man. That invitation saying, come. Come to me. Come and join together with me. It says in verse 23, continuing, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. I'm glad that as a Christian, that we don't have to, in a sense, just go to a temple where there's an idol or a dead god. Or we just don't have a religion, that we maybe have to go on a religious journey. Or we don't have to meet a certain requirement to know the God or to find favor with the God, as many other religions have. But I'm so glad that with Christianity, true Christianity, that it's coming to God because Christ did it. It is finished, he said. It is complete. It is total. And when we come to God, sometimes I know we can sometimes feel a little hesitation. Each one in this room is not perfect. Each one of us in here, sometimes we struggle with things, or we face things, or condemnation or guilt, even from things that happened years ago. And sometimes there can be this thought that, okay, we can kind of come to God, we can kind of know him, we can kind of, approach him to some degree, but, you know, maybe not fully. According to the Word of God, we can come fully without hesitation. We can come without a fear of Him looking at us or rejecting us if we come through Jesus Christ. And that changes things. It changes how we pray. It changes how we praise God. It changes how we come, or our attitude coming into a church. Because it's not, okay, I got to go to church or I have to read my Bible or pray in order to find favor in God's sight. But it's saying, no, it's finished. Christ paid it. And now it's out of that love, it's out of that relationship, that I can come to God freely. I can come before Him without hesitation. I can come before Him as that little child just runs to the mother or father, going to share something or going to ask help. I can come to Him praising Him because of what He's done. And so we can come before Him without hesitation. And we can come before Him trusting that He's a good God, trusting that He's a loving Father that will give good gifts to His children. There's one more scripture found also I just want to share with you in the New Testament, in Philippians. And if you turn to Philippians chapter 3, it speaks about, again, our continuing or our relationship with Christ. In Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 7, it says, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things." I'll continue in just a moment, but the emphasis here is about our relationship with Christ. There's one thing that, as followers of Christ, that Christ does demand. And He's patient. He does wait patiently. But He asks for us everything. He asks for us our all. Sometimes we can think we can negotiate with God, but that doesn't usually work out so well. He wants all of us, not because He's selfish, but because what He has in return is so great. As we give to God, as we give all, as He sets His fingers on things in our life, as we give it to Him, He replaces it with so much better and so much greater. And so sometimes, I know at camp, many times you're here, God will work in our hearts, and He leads us to this altar, to our knees, and He says, "Are you mine? Whose are you? Are you yours? Are you somebody else's, a friend, a girlfriend, a wife? Are you your parents? Whose are you? Are you your boss's? Whose are you? I want you to be mine. I created you. I paid the price for you. I purchased you, in a sense, twice. I redeemed you. Whose are you?" And God has a way of putting His Holy Spirit fingers on our hearts and our lives to help us to see, okay, God, I need to come to you. God, I surrender that to you. I give it to you. Continuing, it says, "I've counted all things loss." And it says, "everything compared to the surpassing greatness of the knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead." May it be our heart's cry tonight and every day that we live, to know God, to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, that we'd be able to walk in the power of God, and that the power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, dwells in us and flows through us, and that the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. We sometimes don't like to hear that part, do we? Sometimes we don't like to hear about suffering for Christ. But you know what the good thing is? We don't suffer for our sins. He suffered for our sins. We don't have to feel like we're going to pay for our sins, or that sometimes the lies that may come to us and say, okay, you are now paying for your sins. Christ paid for those sins. And the sharing of that suffering is saying, partly I believe, is sharing in His suffering is receiving that, is accepting that, saying, God, thank You. You have paid the price. You have covered my sin. It is gone. It is done. Sometimes He does lead us to suffering. And there are those around the world that are suffering or have suffered for the sake of Christ. And God may lead us. We're living in a time and age that God may have us sometimes suffer in some ways. I know some of my friends in China, they suffer to some degree with their families, because their families, maybe some of them are Buddhist, or some of them are into other ideas or beliefs, and the family sometimes rejects them, or the family distances them, or the family says some negative things. So in a sense, that's a form of suffering. But we remind them they belong to a greater family. They belong to an eternal family, just as all of us. Your family, your earthly family is important. But you know what? Your family forever and ever is even more important. And so thank the Lord that we can enter into a knowledge, a greater knowledge of Him. We can enter into knowing that He forgives our sin, and that what He did on the cross was complete and finished. And then we can walk in that, and we can thank the Lord, wow, Jesus, thank You. You made a way. When I die and stand before God, He's going to say, maybe some ask some questions, or He's going to look at each person's life. And if we were to stand there on our own, by ourselves, it would be nothing. We would have nothing to say. We would have nothing to stand on. But I'm so grateful that next to us stands Jesus, the Son of God. And when God says, who is this? Or God says, why should He enter heaven? Or God says some other question, Jesus will say, ah, I know Him. I know her. I know Him. I know her. What a wonderful thing it is to know Jesus. What a wonderful thing it is not just to know about Him or to know Him a little, but to go deeper and deeper into Christ. There's even that hymn that says, deeper and deeper I go into the heart of Jesus, deeper and deeper I go. And I hope tonight that we can draw near to God, tonight that we can go deeper and to know Him, that with that anticipation tonight that we can say, Lord, show me more of You. Lord, tonight help me to get a glimpse of You in a greater way, in a deeper way. May it be our heart's desire to know God more and more and to love Him more and more. Amen. Amen.
Let's sing number 7 in our camp. Songbooks number 7. If you'd like to stand with me as we sing, feel free to do that.
Often my heart longed to pray, sinner, so what could I say? cleansing way. Open by Jesus, my Lord. I found a way through the blood, past the veil to the holy of holies with God. There by his power over sin I prevail. I can walk in the path that he trod. There in the presence of Jesus I stand, glorified Son at the Father's right hand. There I can plead, I can claim, I can have. Righteousness now I have found, Calvary's cleansings abound. Taking this blood away, I'm on solid ground, ground of Christ's merits alone. I found the way through the blood, past the veil to the Holy of Holies with God. There by his power over sin I prevail. I can walk in the path that he trod. There in the presence of Jesus I stand, glorified Son at the Father's right hand. There I can plead, I can claim, I can have all that he purchased for me. Wandering days now are done, guessing days now are all gone. Now a new pathway of prayer is begun, opened by Jesus alone. I found a way through the blood, past the veil, to the Holy of Holies with God. There by his power over sin I prevail. I can walk in the path that he trod. There in the presence of Jesus I stand, glorified Son at the Father's right hand. There I can plead, I can claim, I can have all that he purchased for me.
Let's be seated. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much, Brother Andy, for your word to us. All of you who know Andy and Hina know that they are very warm, and you just, they take you in when you start to talk to them. And I trust that we all will take them into our hearts too. And I'm sure that they would very much appreciate your support of their work in China. They seek those who will back them up with earnest prayer, and who will faithfully support their ministry. And we want to do that. When do you have to go back?
We're having a baby in the beginning of October, so we'll go back in January.
Okay, good. Well, all the best to you. I think that the sinks in the cottage are probably waiting for, they're not going to move, but Caleb's going to be the right height pretty soon. Okay. So we hope that he gets a chance to be in the cottage. Yeah. Okay, and may God bless you and your ministry in China. Lord, we thank you for our dear brother and sister. We thank you for putting the love of Jesus in their hearts and sending them forth to serve you there. And we know that wherever they are, they walk with you and live for you because they belong to you and they are yours. Yes, it's whose they are, and they belong to you, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for calling them and giving them the heart to respond to you. So we want to stand with them and pray that you'll bless them during these days as they're waiting here for the addition to their family and then heading back out to the mission field. Just bless them and give them great joy and supply every need of theirs, we pray. Oh Lord, have your way and glorify your name. Thank you for the word that we've heard tonight that has touched our hearts and drawn our attention to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Asking, I now may receive. Seeking, I know he'll relieve. Knocking, I get, for I take and believe Jesus is praying for me. Let's sing that fourth verse. Asking, I now may receive. Seeking, I know he'll relieve. Knocking, I get, for I take. And Brother Andy spoke about our anticipation, and I trust that we've come with hearts that are wide open as we've come to this place for these days, that we have great expectations. We thank God that he is here and that he has drawn us together at this time, and we believe that he will touch our lives, and we thank him for that and meet every need.